One is the time where I will talk generally about zikr and something of the meaning of zikr, as my sheikh and sheikh's sheikh and the two sheikhs that I had both used the word atom from the sun of knowledge and drop from the ocean of love. That's all that we can express. That's all that really any human being is given the power to manifest. And yet in that drop, as we know, is the totality. But we can't encompass the totality. Allah says that no eye, no vision can grasp me, but my grasp is over all vision. I am the one who embraces all, and only I exist. So zikr is this journey from limited existence to the one true existence. Alhamdulillah.
So,
yes. Sit here, darling. Sit here. Yeah, no, come on. Your back is out. Good. So, and I will speak of zikr from different perspectives. Again, that's all we can do, because zikr is all there is. On one level, it's all there is. The entire creation is manifested as zikr. Allah says, I was a hidden treasure, and I longed to be known. So I brought forth the creation. I brought forth the perfect human form, who is the vessel of the entire creation, the microcosm or macrocosm, as some would say, of this entire creation. So in this divine statement, there is the longing. I was a hidden treasure. I was unknown. I was unseen, unheard. No one else exists and existed apart from me. So I brought forth in my longing, I longed to be known. So in the core of this hiddenness, in the core of essential being, is this longing, this love. So this is why the Sufis say that love is the essence of all, because it is in the core, in the heart of everything. And it is what brought about creation. So through the overflowing of divine love comes forth first in appearance the Nur Muhammad. This is in the Sufi Islamic tradition. The light of Muhammad, the primordial light, uncreated light. It's prior to creation. It is simply the manifestation of the inwardness, of that brilliance, of that glory, of that transparency, of that love, of the one. And this light, as it comes forth, cries out, La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. La ilaha illallah. Only the one reality exists. Only Allah is. The one being alone is. La ilaha illallah. And that one being responds to the light. Muhammadan Rasulullah. Muhammad, meaning here the perfect human form, the one who is praised, the one whom I brought forth to praise me, is my messenger, is my mirror, my perfect mirror, is my very being, but brought forth so I can gaze upon it, I can adore it, I can love it, and I can call it back into myself. This is the human journey. The pouring forth and then being called back. And so the Sufis follow the way of love. They say love is the surest path, because love is what manifests us. So let's follow love back to its source. So this is the original zikr, La ilaha illallah, cried out by the Muhammadan light. And Muhammad Rasulullah responded by the divine reality itself. This is on the transcendental plane. This is prior to creation, prior to all the worlds. And then out of that light Allah manifests by gazing, the intensity of gaze, of love onto that light. All creation manifests from the throne, the pen, the tablets, all the realms, all seven heavens, all the earths, all 18,000 worlds, all realms of teaching and severity. Everything manifests from that light, out of the gaze. So everything is of this light. And as we speak of the light shines forth very strongly, alhamdulillah. Confirmation, we see confirmation wherever we look. It's one seamless weaving of the only weaver. Everything we look, wherever we look, is the one face. And if we cannot see that face directly, at least we see the signs. Allah says, I send my signs to you. These are the signature, the perfumed scarf of the beloved. Everything that makes us remember, that calls us back. This is zikr. So being called back to the heart, being called back to divine presence. So then on the cosmic level, there was a second zikr that took place. As we say, zikr is eternal and ongoing. It never ceases. But we can also distinguish different levels and different realms of zikr. So the second grand zikr occurs when the primordial human form is manifested. The Adamic form, which contains both male and female. It has the genders, both genders within itself. And after Allah manifests that form and breathes into it, said, I breathe into that form my Holy Spirit. And then that form becomes living and speaking and knowing and loving. It shares the essence of Allah. And then Allah asks the angelic beings who have themselves been manifested from the Muhammadan light to bow down before that form. And all of a sudden there's a stir, there's a resistance. The angels who don't resist. But it's interesting, in the beginning of the whole drama of creation, they resisted the divine command to bow down. And they turn to their Lord and they say, how can we bow down before one who is going to cause mischief and harm and shed blood on the earth? And then Allah turns in this. We can only, of course, picture this. We have human pictures for this. But even the human level is a level of truth. So even if we only picture it on that level, that's true. But in any case, the divine gaze turns to this perfect human form and asks of it a question. After having asked the angelic beings to name everything in manifest creation, and they are unable to, they said, Allah, we only know what you teach us, what you tell us. We have no other knowledge apart from what you inspire to us. And then after their own inability to come forth with this knowledge, Allah turns to the Adamic form and says, tell them everything that is, tell them all the divine names. And the Adam responds without hesitation and names everything in creation, comes forth with all the divine names, all the holy secrets. And the angels at that point, then they realize who is in Adam. And they realize there are not two there. And they bow down and prostrate, because the Adamic form is the manifest divine form. So that is the second zikr we could speak of. So that zikr is the chanting of all the names in the circle of the angelic beings, angelic realms, with the presence of Allah. And then the third zikr, might call it in cosmic time, comes after Adam and Eve are sent out of paradise, and the masters of love say that Adam is only sent away from paradise to know love, to know the depths of love. Because in that, the original paradise was a kind of almost childlike paradise of happiness and satisfaction, where all needs were met. But it missed something. It missed burning love. It missed the ashq, what's called ashq in Sufism. So Adam and Eve were sent out of paradise to know ashq. And this is, you might say, the crown within the human form. This is the Holy Spirit. And so their zikr takes place on earth amidst tears and longing and weeping and repentance, asking for forgiveness, and chanting again the names, because it says Allah has inspired to them words of revelation. So the revelation itself is zikr. And so this they offer back to Allah, whatever Allah has inspired to them, to draw them closer. So this is the level of earthly zikr. So you might say this is our zikr. This is the fully human zikr. It has both the repentance and the tears of longing and sorrow. But ultimately within it is the joy of union, is the glory then of the absolute oneness, the ahad. The only one being is chanting its own praises. So this is this journey in zikr that we take together every time we gather in the sacred circle. And traditionally, dervishes gather once a week on a sacred night of the week. Every night is sacred, but there are certain appointed nights for zikr. Some choose Thursday night, which is the beginning of Friday, and some Sunday night. But any night zikr is offered is a sacred night. And every day, as we've learned, is belonging to a different prophet of Allah. So the seven holy days, they are truly each of them holy. Each day is itself a zikr, a cycle of time, a circle of gathering. Each day is a new manifestation of Allah's love and knowledge. So each day is a zikr. And from the day, then we come to the breath. As Pirzia was explaining so beautifully last night, each breath is zikrullah. This is the unit, you might say, of remembrance in the biological being. But beyond the biological being, more interior and more essential than that is the being of light. And that moment is called the waqt, the moment by moment. And we are created anew from the source. And as we come forth new, we come forth with praise to our Lord, the one who manifests us. So wherever we look is divine praise, whether we are sad or happy or distressed, or completely in forgetfulness, whatever state of emotion we are in, state of mind, we are praising Allah. And this is again why the masters of love say that we are so beloved. No matter what we do, we are beloved, because we are always praising. We are always serving as the mirror of all the divine attributes. But we pray, may we be the mirror of beauty, the mirror of love, the mirror of truth, the mirror of intimacy, the one who takes delight in their Lord and whose Lord takes delight in them, the one who is constantly returning back into the one and constantly pouring forth again with praises in our hearts, our bodies, our minds, our lips. So this is zikr, and we are in zikr all the time. But let us return to our zikr that is formed when the dervishes enter the sacred circle. And it's interesting, again, that it's a circle. Everything really in creation is is circular, harmonious, because it manifests from the primordial point. And in Sufism, this is called the point beneath the Bismillah. There's a writing, and beneath the B of the Bismillah, in Allah's name, all compassionate, all loving, all merciful, is a point beneath the B, and that's called the nukta. It's the primordial point, the first manifestation. So the first manifestation was good, and it continues being good. So the circle is an image of that primordial point. So it's the place of return. It's like the gateway of return. You know, if we've come through a door and we long to go back to that place, well, we're going to be seeking that door, that same door of return. That's called the gate of return, the threshold. So the dervish circle is this threshold, this place where we come and join and to return back into our source and to be the one again, not the many. To be lost in the one and found in the one. So this is Dhikrullah. So let me look in my pearly book of notes that I made. I'd like to elaborate on a little bit more. And that is that zikr is love, as we know. And when we are in the state of conscious zikr, so this is the human path, is to come from natural zikr, God-given zikr, to conscious zikr, the zikr of awareness. And as we say, we do this through love, through opening to love, finding a teacher of love, a master of love, peers of love, a prophet of love, peace be upon him, peace be upon all the prophets of love. And to follow the way of love, to dedicate oneself to love, sacrifice oneself for the sake of love. And zikr is also knowledge, as we saw in the Adamic form. So by aligning ourselves with the One, then divine knowledge is poured through us. So knowledge is the divine being itself. Knowledge is the fullness of being. And knowledge is familiarity with the One, so that the One is sharing itself with this form. And we call this a humble form. Humble form. Has many names. Some call it the gallows. And I hear laughter because we know ultimately it's that. It's the gallows. And that refers also to the gallows of Mansur al-Halaj, the one who cried out, An al-Haq, I am the truth. But it wasn't him who cried out, An al-Haq. It was the truth who cried through him, An al-Haq. Only the truth can cry, An al-Haq. But it cried through his form, because he was such a servant of truth. And so the servants merged with the master, and the master used his form to cry out. But for that, he was executed. And it's a mystery, part of the mystery of this entire creation. We have an entire Ilahi based on the spiritual journey of Mansur al-Halaj. So it's called the gallows of Mansur. It's also called the rose garden where the roses bloom, the rose of the heart, where the infinite petaled rose of divine love, divine realization blooms in that rose garden. And it blooms as the nightingale of love, whom we could call the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, whom we could call Allah the Beloved, as that nightingale sings, the roses bloom. It's called the open space. The open space, where the attributes disappear, or where the attributes come to such a crescendo of intensity and manifestation that they actually disappear, like light becoming so bright that it blinds one to all limited forms. This is the open space of essence. The attributes returning to essence. This is the circle of zikr. Dervishes returning to their beloved, hearts returning to source of love, attributes returning to the essence. And there we say also where the essence returns into its essence. So it's a never-ending journey of return. And then again, a bursting forth again, manifesting again, coming to be in all the fineness and subtlety and distinctions of this creation. So I'd like to take you through some of the steps of the actual physical zikr. One other name that comes to mind is the rocket ship. And that was a name that Sheikh Noor used. He liked to use that term, that we enter the rocket ship. The zikr is leaving the earth. It blasts off and leaves the earth and travels beyond space and time, travels to another realm of eternity. So the circle is the sacred form and has been a sacred form since the human being has appeared here. We have archaeological evidence that people have gathered in this form. And we assume that they gathered for the same reason that we gather, in love and desire to meet the beloved who dwells in their heart. And it's so appropriate because each point of the circle is equidistant from the center. So that's this ultimate divine equality. No one is far. Everyone is equidistant and really no distance because that point, the center of the zikr, is within ourself. So our heart is, you might say, the center of the zikr circle. Our bodies, our minds, our thoughts, our emotions, everything else are these attributes manifesting as the circumference of the circle. So the zikr is prepared for. It's prepared through prayer. It's prepared through awareness. And we can do zikr anywhere, though. We could. The whole earth, as it said, has been made a prayer carpet for us. It was said, I have made this entire earth a prayer carpet for you, O Muhammad. This is how Allah addressed his beloved. But in the deeper sense, Muhammad is each one of us. The primordial being is us. So that this entire earth is a place of zikr and we can pray. We don't need temples and mosques and churches. At least we don't need mosques in our tradition because we can pray outside. We can do zikr outside. Find Allah everywhere. But we prepare the zikr circle with prayer. So the ones who lay the sheepskins, and the sheepskins in our path, in our particular lineage, we use sheepskins. And they represent the sacrifice self, the one who's given themselves for love. And they are laid in a particular configuration. And we have sheepskins also that have colors. So there's four colors in our circle. There's the white sheepskins for the dervishes, again, as I say, signifying the purified self, the transparent self. Then there is the blue sheepskin, which represents the sheikh. Our particular lineage received this color as a gift to Hazreti Pir Muhammad Nuruddin Jarahi, may Allah sanctify his secret, this source of zikrullah, source of truth, who came forth in Istanbul in the 17th century and was a universal being and received the allegiance of all the tariqats who were present at the time, all the Sufi lineages. And he was the kutub of his time, the central axis. And he was given the blue sheepskin by another dervish order. So we call this his throne. So at first, the white sheepskins are laid out, and they're laid out one over the other, so there's no space in between. Just as this hand, we say it's heart to heart, hand to hand, to the throne. And so the sheepskins, there's no break. It signifies also the mystic community, that we are within each other. We are one body. There's no break between us. And this is, again, a mystery. It's not something we can bring about. We can't bring it about with all the money, with all the effort, with all the goodwill. Allah alone brings mystic community about. And it's a sign of love, sign of divine love, being present. So their togetherness, their woven together, signify this. And they're all the heads of the sheepskins are facing the blue throne. And they circle around from the place of the blue throne, which is in the direction of Qibla, we call it, the direction of Mecca, the holy house. Again, on the physical realm, an axis of the earth, one of the axes of the earth. In the human body, that's represented by the heart. So we say that the true Qibla is the human heart, center of creation, crown of creation is the human heart. And then the sheepskin, so they all face the blue throne, the Qibla. And they come around in circular form in two semicircles and meet at the other point, the facing point, which is the black sheepskin, like the black sheep. In a funny way, it has some of the qualities of a black sheep. But so the person who sits on that is the keeper on a physical level of the zikr circle. And so there is the sheikh, these two poles, the sheikh and the black post. And the sheikh is this threshold, and this is the principle of sheikh. So we're not vaunting ourselves. We're saying that this is divine principles which form the principles of sacred community. The sheikh is the threshold between this world and the next. And the black sheepskin is rooting that in this world with all its forms and demands. And then to the right and left of the blue sheepskin are the red sheepskins. And they are the two, the closest helpers of the sheikh, you might call the representatives of the sheikh. So these, as I say, these sheepskins are laid carefully with prayer. And the blue sheepskin is put on last. And then when the blue sheepskin is set, the dervishes come and sit. This is how it happens in our community. In other communities, it might be different. And then the sheikh comes out and bows before the blue sheepskin, bows before the throne. And it represents also the throne of Allah. Because there is no difference, really, as I said. It's like a seamless continuity between this realm and all the other realms. And then we make special prayer. As I come out, I actually even prostrate then on the blue sheepskin. And I make a special prayer to our peers, our lineage, the sheikhs and guides of our lineage to guide this zikr and to make this zikr be real. And so that everyone present in the zikr can taste the real and have an opening of heart and transformation of heart. And then sit on the blue sheepskin. Sometimes I speak a few words just of address or welcoming. And then after that, we go into silence. So I call it entering the cave of the heart, the cave of light. Because in the history of our grand tradition, revelation was first received in a cave. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, retreated to a cave outside Mecca on a mountain called the Mountain of Light in a holy month called the month of Ramadan, in which we are presently now. This is the month of Ramadan. And he would retreat there. It was his custom to retreat. And it was in his 40th year. And he was called more and more into solitude and prayer. And he would take just a little bit of food for his journey and go into the cave and pray there and fast and in the day and break his fast in the evening and pray there. And he said, at first he started to have dreams of light. That was how the revelation first came to him, interesting enough, as that essential form of light, brilliant light. And then at some point that light took form, as in the angelic being, Gabriel, alayhi salam. And he said he was standing or sitting in his cave and he saw this immense angelic form. He didn't know, though, it was an angel. He just saw this vast form filling the horizon. So his cave was above. It was in the mountain. And it was in a desert land, so the horizon is vast. And this being filled the horizon. And at that point, he went into a state of awe, tremendous awe. And that being then came closer, it says, and took a human form. And it embraced him. And he said he was just shaking, trembling. So this is the awe that we can feel ourselves. We can feel a touch of this awe when we enter the zikr circle. And Allah says, when my name is mentioned, said their skins tremble. So is that vibration. So that's zikr, when our bodies are doing zikr. And the form, the angelic being, embraced him and said, speak or recite. And the Prophet answered, I don't know how to. The same word is for read. Read. He couldn't read. He was an ummi, an untaught by humans. Taught only by Allah alone. So he did not learn reading and writing. And for that, actually, he was ridiculed also by some of the other Meccans, because they were from the wealthy class. They were educated. He had been an orphan, so he was both orphaned and an ummi, untaught. So he was prepared in that way, so that Allah was his parent. Allah was his teacher. Allah was his guide. But to the outer, it appeared as an indignity for those who didn't have eyes to see. So he said, I cannot read. And the angelic being again embraced him even tighter. And he said he felt he was being crushed in this embrace of divine power. And the angel said to him again, Ikra, read, recite. And again, a second time, he said, I can't read, I can't read. And also, deeper meaning of that is too, I cannot recite, I have nothing to say. And again, the angel embraces him. And this time, he said, it was like a bone-crushing hold. He felt his bones, he felt he was going to expire. So powerful was that embrace. And again, the angel said to him, Ikra, recite. And this time the angelic being said more. It said, recite in the name of your Lord, most merciful, the one who has created the human form for mercy. This is the first revelation to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, and to his community and his family and all his lineage and all humanity, who are this holy form.